Well, I want you to know that you're very blessed this morning that I wasn't leading worship, all right? I'm so thankful for the bride that God gave me, for my son, my sons that were singing in the background, drowning me out prayerfully. But you're a blessed church that she is the one that was leading this morning. So we welcome you. For those that maybe rolled out just a little bit later, hopefully you didn't roll out at 10 o'clock here to come to church this morning, but you were up spending time in the presence of the King who brings peace in the midst of every storm. Oh, he's worthy. I took my prayer walk this morning about 5 o'clock, walked up on the hill, could oversee the whole Hudson Valley, you know, from our hill all the way to the top of the Catskill Mountains, and just praying over the different places and what God's doing, and looking for an outpouring that's going to come as a deluge in the valley. I really believe that this year God is preparing each and every one of us. All of these trials, or these changes really, that we're going through, when we walk and we hold close to the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's much easier to be able to deal with them. You know, for those that are busy about the things of God, those that are in the Word of God, those that are in prayer, when changes come, we just roll with it. And actually, what we're doing this morning is gathering together as the body of Christ via YouTube. But we're gathering in our homes and worshiping God, just like they did in the book of Acts. We're gathering in our homes and we're reading the Word of God, just like in the book of Acts, and believing God for just as great an outpouring in your home. Today, that's our cry. The cry of our hearts is that the presence of God would flood your home as a faithful man, woman of God, child of God, whatever it is. Your home would be a place where the presence is so rich and so powerful that whether people live above you in an apartment or your neighbors to the left and to the right, whoever it is, they notice the difference in your home. And then they come and they ask questions. Our desire is that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I just want to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying faithful. Thank you for allowing the presence of God to come down out of the throne room to inhabit your praises, to be able to be expressed through you to those that have never been able to enjoy the beauty, the majesty, and the peace that God has prepared for them. So thanks for being that place of peace and joy. And this morning, you know, me and my wife are rejoicing for a great night's sleep. For those of you who don't know, we were gone for the week and we went down to Texas to be a blessing to the Hassingers, who Lisa lost her father back in February, I believe it was. And so we went down and picked up the camper that he had in order to bring it back and to help sell it for them. And as God's grace is, which is always amazing, he accomplished the task before we even got home. But we'll get into that this morning. If you have your Bibles, which I pray you do, open them up on your phone, open them up. if they're up in the cabinet, on the bookshelf, blow the dust off of it, bring it down, and let's open it up together, shall we? And when you grab a hold of it, turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. We're going to start there. We're going to read the whole chapter this morning. So Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, because I believe that there's power in the Word of God. And when men and women simply speak the words of God, it speaks the words of life, and it transforms and changes. The Spirit of God then starts to speak to men and women, opening up their hearts, opening up their understanding, opening up all that they are before him. And so we want to thank God for the power of his word, and then we'll read it together. All right. So if you have yours, prayerfully, you're in Ephesians chapter 1 and you're on verse 1. And we're going to start there. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, in the heavens, and things on the earth in him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, that's everyone here, everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ. So in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, we'll keep reading, but I want you to be encouraged this morning. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ has been heard and known around the world. Everywhere we go, we talk about the goodness of God and how he has changed people's lives and how your lives are now being used for the purpose of the expansion of his kingdom. It says, We do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. I was praying for you this morning, standing on top of that hill, just crying out, oh God, every single one at Rock Solid Church, that they would have such a heart of passion for you and compassion for those who have never experienced you. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And that revelation, that's the unlocking of it. Many people have read the word of God. Many people have prayed. But this morning, my prayer is that not only with the wisdom, right? That Sophia, that word wisdom, where we would stay at it. We would continue to read it. But then the revelation, the unlocking of it, the Spirit of God comes when we read it and he starts to unlock everything that's in his word, all the mysteries he wants to unlock for each one of us. And his desire is that we possess them. So this morning, you know, when we were praying, we're praying for the spirit of revelation to come upon you, that revelatory knowledge that would unlock maybe something you've been praying for quite a while. Maybe there's something you haven't been able to grasp. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you're not sure why. I want you to know through the wisdom of God, and then the revelation or the unlocking of the knowledge of God, as it says, the revelation in the knowledge of him, where we start to understand who he is, what his word says, and then we start to walk it out so that all of those around us are transformed. All right. So we want that revelation knowledge, that unlocking knowledge. Some doors in people's lives have been locked for a very long time. And maybe that's you. Maybe there's been a lock on your heart. Maybe there's an area of your heart where you just kept it locked because you couldn't believe either that God is that good or that maybe you could be forgiven. I sat with someone and they said, I didn't believe that because of what I had done in the past, I didn't believe that I deserved to be loved. I want you to know you deserve to be loved this morning. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It's not built around you. Ugh, if the church could grab that. It's not built around you. It's built around him. And his desire is that you would grab a hold of the wisdom from his word, and then you would receive his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit would come in and he would unlock the word of God. So we would start to believe what the word of God says rather than what our yesterday said, what our fears have said, and what other people have spoken about us, whether it's around the world, whether it's in your hometown, wherever it is, because you are going to be spoken about. And but I want you to know your freedom is in Jesus Christ. He's unlocking he's taking the wisdom from his word. He's unlocking it through the Spirit so that the knowledge that you have not only delivers you, but then it starts to set the captives free that are around you. So we've really been praying for that revelation knowledge in your life. And I really believe that each one of us have an area in our lives that we haven't unlocked yet. There's a depth of the Spirit that God wants to take us even further. You know, no matter how long we've been walking with him, I believe that there's more. And his desire is that we would press in, that we would go after his wisdom, right? We go to his word. As Paul said, you know, he saw things in the third heaven. So there's more for each and every one of us. There's so much more. And I want God to unlock that revelatory knowledge for each and every one. And when he does, it changes your life. But in the midst of that, it changes everybody around you. See, a life that has the wisdom of God, that understands the wisdom of God, and then it's unlocked for them, and it becomes not only their knowledge, okay, not only the expression of it in your mind, but it becomes the expression of it everywhere you go. Because once that revelation comes, you can't help but express it. You can't help but let someone else know how the delivering, healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ through his Spirit has changed you. It just, we have a visitor this morning, but it looks okay. Sasquatch lives. Well, see that? There's some revelatory knowledge right there. You know what? He's alive. Well, help me, Jesus. You know, these are the things that pastors have to deal with and put up with. Oh, he's such a good God, isn't he? So as we go back, hang on. I got to get my composure after that one. The wisdom and revelation power and the knowledge of God. Whew, look at that. God unlocked something this morning you didn't think was possible.
Even
that's right. Verse 18, we'll go on. Get back into the word. Verse 18 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. No matter how empty you felt this past week, no matter what you've been struggling with, I want you to know God wants to fill you this morning. And Jesus is able to fill all in all. It doesn't matter what area has been lacking or missing. Jesus is the one that fills all. You're not going to find it. You can try to fill it with other things, but it's never going to work. You can try to fill it with, which many people have, with all kinds of vices that this world offers. But I want you to know none of them will fill you. They'll only be temporary, shall we say, just temporary ways that we numb it, possibly. But many times after we come off the numbing aspect, it comes back even more ferocious because then there's more guilt and there's more shame and there's more foolishness and more wrong decisions. So I want you to know that in this, in Christ, there is a fullness that comes and it's for all. And it's he wants to deposit it in all, in every single person that's here this morning. and that can hear my voice. You know, there's a few words that I just want to go over as we are reading, you know, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, all of the names of Jesus, it just started stirring me up this morning as I was reading them in the Word of God. And so this morning, as we're reminding ourselves, right? That's what the Word of God is. It's reminding us day after day, renewing it, reminding. Whatever you've gone through, I want to remind you this morning that He's with you, that He's for you. I want to remind you this morning, things that you already know, things that you already have an understanding in, that He never leaves you. He'll never forsake you. Why? Because He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. He's the blessed and only potentate. He's the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one, the Lamb of God, the glory of God. He's the Word of God, the only begotten of the Father, Emmanuel, Son of Man, Son of God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father. He's the power of God, the wisdom of God. He's the only wise God, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer, the Chief Shepherd, the Great Shepherd of the sheep. He's the Great High Priest. He's universal and supreme head of the church. He's God in the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but when I start to read those words, it starts to drown out all the words that would try to enter in and flood my mind that are contrary to what He said He could do. Once I start to remind myself, wait a minute, He's the Redeemer. I can't redeem myself, but my God is my Redeemer, and He has redeemed me. That is a done deal. It's finished. It's over. I've been redeemed. My debt has been paid. I am free indeed. I've been freed by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I've been set free by the King Eternal. Ah, just that name, the King Eternal. He was, and He is, and He is to come. And so I want to remind you this morning that all the other words that have either been spoken over you, any of the other words that have been proclaimed about you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Good Shepherd of the sheep, He wants you to know this morning that it's His desire that you walk in wisdom. He wrote His word down. And then you have that revelatory knowledge where it starts to sink in past your mind and down into your heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And as you receive that this morning, all of a sudden, when it unlocks, the knowledge starts to come and you start to see yourself in a different light. Every time you look in the mirror, you see something completely different. You see one who's been washed, because that's what the word said, and you start to agree with it. Why? Because He brought you revelation knowledge. And so this morning, with the knowledge that God has given you, with that revelation knowledge, we want to hide it in our hearts, remind ourselves time and time and time again that the only wise God is ours. For we agree, according to the scriptures, that there is no other God besides ours, right? He is the beginning and He is the end of all things. So you can rest assured that God in the flesh, when He came down, it was enough to pay for all of your sins. And you need to stop thinking about Him, worrying about Him, wondering about Him, and walk in the freedom that He has promised you. You know, He gave Him as the head of all things. And we're going to have to submit and surrender to that. He is the head of all things in your life. All right? He's got to be the head of all things. Is there an area of your life that you haven't allowed Him to be the head of? And only you can answer that question. No one else can. He is the head of all things, but you're going to have to allow Him in to all things. So many times we give Him certain areas of our lives and then we hold back areas, but He's got to be the head of all things in our lives. And Paul, you know, knowing this, he proclaims to the church in Corinth, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19, he said, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more." Now, we know that we've already got our salvation. And we know that Paul is speaking about he wants to win more. In other words, he wants to tell more people. He wants more of them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he states here, he says, I know I'm free from all men. In other words, no man is going to judge me. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I don't even judge myself. And God has already judged me. And the word of God is enough. The blood is enough. And therefore, now my life is, because Paul had revelation knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. He said that I'm free from all men. You know, and that needs to be something that you ponder right now. You need to realize you're free from all man. No man, no woman has authority over you in the spiritual realm, per se. In other words, yes, we're all submitted to one another. Yes, we're accountable to one another. But when it comes to your salvation, Paul stating here, he said, I am free from all man, because he knows that man couldn't save him. He said, I'm free from all of their opinions of it, because I know who I am. But he said, then I've made myself a slave to all. So here he was. He said, I'm free from all men, all their opinions, everything I've done wrong. I've been set free from that. Now I make a decision, because I know he is the King of Kings, because I know he has redeemed me, because I know he is the good shepherd, and everything he has for me is for good and for the expanse of his kingdom, which means more sons and daughters coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, I made myself a slave to all. We've got to grab a hold of that this morning, that it's not about becoming the head of everything or being the one in charge and the one that is trying to become. See, when we start to know who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's so easy to serve, because when we start to do it for him, to him, we're doing it through him, obviously, and the power of the Holy Ghost. Then it's easy to become a slave to all. But you see, unless we get that revelation knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, then we're not going to have the freedom of to do things outside of what pleases me, what lifts me, what adds to me. Can I tell you the thing that adds to you in a great and mighty way? Being a slave to all. Taking your life and laying it down and giving it away. There's nothing more rewarding. Every time that I walk in and we're just serving those that are hurting and giving them food from the food pantry, my heart just leaps. And I just love coming in, walking through, helping. And I like doing a lot of the stuff behind the scenes before they hand it out and getting it all prepared. I love watching that and having it all set, so that when they come in, they're just handing it out and they're able to preach the word of God, to pray for people, to encourage them. That's becoming a slave to all. You see, we get nothing from them, and we give all that we gather to them. And how rewarding is that? How much has God blessed us when we started out with just a few, and they just keep coming? And you know, the testimony is around town. We love coming to the Rock Solid Food Pantry. Number one, nobody packs bags like they do. And number two, we're always so encouraged when we come. We're treated like human beings. We're lifted up. We're built up. And that's what we want to do in everything. See, when you become a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and to all men, that even serving the least of these, my brethren, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. And I think that's something that's lost a lot of times in Christendom, because once we get to a certain place, now all of a sudden I want it for myself, or I've done that already. I've done my time, however it is that people look at this. But he said, look, I want you to love one another. How do you love one another? When you gave them a drink, when you visited them in prison, when you gave them a loaf of bread. He said, when you've done these things, you've done it unto me. See, Paul knew that becoming a slave to all men meant that sometimes he preached the word of God. Sometimes he prayed for people that needed a healing. Sometimes he taught for hours on end. And sometimes he fed those that were around him. When he wasn't preaching and teaching, many times he was preparing nets. And they say that sometimes Paul would walk with 50 people in his entourage. And these guys were all had to find places to stay and food. And Paul didn't think it above himself to go and to serve those that were serving him. When we get to that point, freedom comes into our hearts. And God opens up many doors. You know, why is he free from all men? Because he's serving the Almighty. He has the approval of the Most High. I want you to know that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have asked him to forgive your sins and be the Lord of your life, you are in Christ, all right? And now you have the approval of the Most High. You are approved by God. You know, like the FDA comes in and stamps food and said, FDA approved. I want you to know you have that stamp of approval of God on your life. Everywhere you go, people need to see the stamp of approval. Sometimes that stamp of approval looks like this. Just a smile on your face. Maybe you haven't been smiling. You haven't had much to smile about recently. I want you to know when you're reminded of the approval of God, that God approves of you. God loves you. The good shepherd is making a way. He's taking you besides the still waters. Maybe you've been in the valley. Maybe you've been fighting. But this morning, he wants to take you. You're in your home this morning. You didn't have to get out. You didn't have to put your face on. All right. You're coming before God with unveiled faces this morning. Husbands and wives coming together and all of their children. We're coming before God. Maybe you're not in your Sunday best. And he said, come as you are. And I want you to know just the way that you are sitting there, you have the approval of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged this morning. You're approved. All of heaven's rejoicing with you and over you because of the plan of God that has been birthed in you. They're looking forward to you walking out that calling and filling people's lives with the goodness of God. And Paul had the understanding of that he had been redeemed, and no one is going to undo that. No one is going to steal his redemption. Nothing on this planet can. So for all times, he is redeemed. He has surrendered to the great high priest, and he is not serving at the whim of man, but of the desire of the eternal word of life. So Jesus is the word of life. He is eternal. And now he's serving at his desire, at God's desire. Can I tell you, when you serve God, your desires are met above and beyond. You know, this past week, as I shared earlier, my bride and I, we flew out to Texas to pick up the Winnebago. They weren't able to sell it down there. We wanted to come alongside of them because our desire, our sole purpose is that we want to make sure whatever we can do to get some finances into Haiti to keep the Hassingers preaching the gospel as they're raising up two men right now. Bell and George, they've been working with them for a while. We're just so proud of the men and women that have stepped out of our church that have been trained to preach and teach the gospel. We're so blessed by them and their faithfulness to God, not knowing what's coming tomorrow all the time, not knowing if everything's going to be there. And yet they said, no, I trust the good shepherd. I trust the one that was and is to come. And as they have done that, they have watched God supply mightily for their lives. So, you know, we told them, we'll go down there, we'll pick it up, we'll bring it back, try to fix it up and maybe get a little bit more for it. And so me and my wife, we left here at 4 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and we flew into San Antonio, and then we took an Uber across to a town not too far from San Antonio. And then we had to get this thing ready to drive. It took an hour or two. We met these wonderful ladies down there that run the campground, and they offered that we could take a shower because by the time we got the Winnebago ready, let's just say we were feeling a little bit ready for a shower. And so she said, oh yeah, we have showers here. And you know, the goodness of God and his provision. She said, oh, hang on, I'll be right back. And she went to her camper and she got two clean towels from her camper because we didn't bring any. And she brought them out and she said, no, here, please use these towels and then go take your showers before you leave. And we're so thankful of the way that you're serving the Hassingers. And so we were really just encouraged, went in and felt so refreshed. We got on the road about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we started driving, and there was quite a bit of shake, rattle, and rolling going on. And it was one of the straight fronts, and I had never driven one of those, so hard to tell where I was on the lines. A lot of construction going across 90 and I-10. But, you know, God just opened up the doors with these ladies. And before we left these ladies, we wanted to say thank you. And we just said, listen, can we give you a hug? And they were like, yeah, we'd love a hug. And they're probably in their 70s or something. They were so beautiful. They were the hands of God into our lives. And then I wanted to give them a couple of dollars for allowing us to use the showers and the towels. And everything. No, we can't take it. So we got in an argument. Not really. I said, no, you can't rob us of our blessing. And she said, well, you can't rob us of our blessing. And what a beautiful moment when Christians, the only thought they have is, how can I be a blessing? You see, going back to what Paul said, I've become a slave to all men. That's what it looks like. These ladies, they didn't have to help, but we talked about the things of God and they told us about their lives. And by the time we left, I felt like I had known them for a very long time, because it's the same spirit and the beauty of God. So we started driving across and we drove till about midnight. And then, I started seeing Elvis and some other things that were jumping out in front of me. And I figured, well, it must be time to pull over. So we pulled over into a parking lot somewhere in Texas. I don't know. And we got a little bit of sleep, slept for about an hour and a half. And then we got up and we drove on into Mississippi. And, we stopped in there and saw Brenda's family and had a wonderful time with them. And then by the time we left, someone had come and said, hey, I would like that. And so we negotiated back and forth. And, it was a young couple starting out and they're going to need a place. And they said, yeah, we'd like to do this for a while. So we said, well, all right. And they're a Christian couple. So here we take from one Christian family what isn't being used anymore. And now it's being sowed into another Christian family in order to help them get to the next place that they desire to. And then prayerfully, they'll be sowing it into someone else also. But we watch the hand of God. You know, when we go to serve others, God does things above and beyond what you could think. Because my thought was, okay, we got another 24 hours of driving in this, and it was loud, and windows rattled, and all kinds of noise and stuff like that. And getting about, I don't know, by the time we hit the hills, it'd be about maybe 15 miles to the gallon. So we would have been, a lot more money dumped into it. But God made a way while we were there. And so from there, we traveled on to see my son in Nashville. We were going to stop, swing by there on the way home anyway. And we got on the airplane. And, and God is so good, because the night we didn't close the deal until, I think it was Wednesday evening. Wednesday night at like 8:30, we finalized the deal. And I went online to find tickets. And at 9 o'clock, I find 2 tickets left on this one plane, cheaper than what I thought. It was under $200. And so then we just jumped and we took out. We left at 4 o'clock the next morning, had to drive back over to New Orleans an hour and a half and then fly out. But I was saying all of that because when we got on the plane, it was me and my wife, and we sat next to this gentleman. And of course, it was the last row. We're right in front of the restrooms in the back of the plane. And I took the window seat, so you're in the far back corner. And then this gentleman we start talking to, he was a little bit younger than we are, and he happens to be a bassist in Nashville. He's been there for 30 years, and he's played for the big country names, Dolly Parton and them guys. But we got to talk about the things of God. You know, we went down there to serve, and we thought we were going to be driving all the way back, and we didn't care. We'll drive back in this thing. And then God makes a way where he finishes the deal a little bit quicker. You know, when your hearts just want to give and want to sow and want to build, God opens up the doors. And so then we jump on this airplane with, what was his name, Brent? Danny. This gentleman named Danny, a nice Irish guy. And we start talking about the things of God. You know what? By the time we got off that airplane, he had shared about his life. He talked for quite a while about what was going on in him. And he says, hey, listen, before he gets off the airplane. He goes, you know what? I'm so encouraged right now. Can I get your phone number? Because if I come to New York, I said, will you come up to New York and you stay with us anytime you want? He said, I want you to know I am coming. I'm coming because I am so encouraged right now in the things of God. I'm going to come up and stay with you guys if that's all right. Can I tell you, that's what God does, is he just opens up our hearts so that we're able to just give the word of God and just be a slave of righteousness to those that are around us. I don't know who he was. I didn't know what he had, me and my wife, but we just got to build and encourage one another. He encouraged us and we encouraged him. And he said, listen, if you're ever down here, I'll take you all over. And we were like, well, thank you. So he took my phone number and I'm waiting for a call. And I can't wait for him to come and to stay with us for a while. But again, I became richer because I got to meet another one of God's sons. Here, I was hoping to get him saved and he was already saved. So that's sort of, you know, I mean, I like getting people saved. That's the fun part of it. And then meeting people that aren't, that's wonderful also when we build each other up. And that's the problem with going down the South. You know, everybody you talk to, they say they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These ladies at the campground and another gentleman that I sat next to and then this gentleman. So I want you to know when you're looking for him, no matter what you're doing, we've got to be looking for those opportunities to build into someone else's life and to strengthen them. And I've said all of that to come into this next point, which was the title of the sermon, which was the wise. And if you turn over to Proverbs 11 and verse 30, and I know that's a very familiar passage, and I know that we've shared this, but in the spring of the year now, when the weather is wonderful, they're starting to, you know, pull back some of the restrictions. We can't lose focus. It's not just about going out and doing what we want to do. Why? Because we're a slave to all men. Why? Because we've been redeemed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we've been set free by the rock of our salvation. And so in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. And you know, it's amazing how the tree of life can only produce one thing, life. It just produces life and life and life and life and life. That's why God, he said, hey, you can't have now from the fruit of the tree of life, because it would produce life. It would never allow death in any way, shape, or form. And so what God was saying here in Proverbs is that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So when we come, right, and we surrender to that word, right, the wisdom of the word, the Spirit of God starts to unlock it. And now all of a sudden, the revelation of who he is, which translates into who we are now, because as he is, so are we, where? In this world, right? So it's who we are in this world, right here and now. And it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life in the NASB. And so we have already been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb, right? And the word of our testimony, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved, right? So at that point, you've been made righteous, or you have right standing with God, right? Righteousness. Now the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And I really believe that this is a time and a season for Rock Solid Church and the church at large. Obviously, the church that's serious about the things of God. We're not talking about the failing denominational churches. You know, so many of them have left the word of God and have just gone on to the teachings of mere mortals. And we know that that doesn't add anything. So, but for those that are righteous, those that are walking in the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ or the fullness of the word, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life. And I want to encourage you this morning that you are a tree of life. You see, our roots are in Jesus Christ. Our foundation is on that chief cornerstone. And we're like those trees that are planted by the river of life, right? When we realize the righteousness that we are in Christ, we're planted by the river. And that river is teeming with what? life. So we're drawing life from life into ourselves and then producing the fruit, which is bringing life into all of those that are around us. I don't know, maybe you've got some apologizing to do. Maybe there's some areas where you haven't been producing life. Maybe there's some thoughts in your head where you haven't been speaking life. Maybe there's some things that you've given your hands to that bring, you know, something other than life. But the righteous, okay, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So just like sitting with Danny on the plane, my only job was to bring life. And the more life that God brings to us, right, where we've said many times that you can't cancel me, no matter what happens, our job is to bring life into people's lives, right? We are to bring life into ugly and dark situations. And that's what God's called us to. Why? Because he who is wise wins souls. And I think that over the years that the church has become unwise to a certain degree. The church has been walking without the wisdom of God because they backed away from making disciples. They backed away from getting people saved. Some people have lost their passion and their compassion for those that are walking in darkness, and they can walk right past it. But you see, if we're going to walk in righteousness, then we become those trees. The only thing we can produce is righteousness. The only thing we can do is bring life into someone else's life and our love for God. When the deeper we go in righteousness, the deeper we go in the understanding that he's the Lord of Lords, he's the King of Kings, he's the mighty counselor. He's the one that whenever we start to look left or right and we start to get drawn into something, the counselor comes and he says, hang on a second. I don't think that's going to give you what you desire. Turn your eyes from worthless things. See, that's what the counselor does. The Holy Spirit comes, the mighty counselor. And he says, turn your eyes back over here because you're a tree of life. You're righteous. You were made for so much more. And God said that you're the wise. And the one who is wise, or you have wisdom, it's the wisdom of God. And when you walk in the wisdom of God, then you win souls. That's what we do. You see, the closer I get to God, the more I want to talk to the Dannys on the plane. The closer I get to God, I'm not going to be distracted with the foolishness of this world, those things that are perishing, those things that are fading into oblivion. I think about the prayers that I had when I was younger. How many things I prayed and cried out for God. If I could just get to this, if I could just have this, if we could just acquire this. And all of those things have come and gone. So many of them that I've given away and let go of. But at one time I thought, oh, at that moment, then I'll know. Then I'll be free. See, I didn't realize that I was free indeed long before I had anything given to me by the hand of God. I didn't realize that it was him, his power and his strength that gave me the ability to receive these things. And so the things that I cried out for in the past, they were simply distractions. They were simply my flesh overruling what God had desired. And I realized that some of the passion that I had, it started to wane to a certain degree, which caused my compassion for those that I walked with. You know, I mean, my God is such a good God. His desire is that none perish. He sent his only begotten son. He sent them all just for me. And I've got to be reminded of that, that when I go back to the first and the last, when I go back to the one who breathed life into me and every day gives me the ability to stay alive and to walk out the purpose and the plan of God, it causes me to think about if I am righteous, and we know that righteousness, what brings life into the situation would be the fruits of the Spirit, right? And the very first one is love. And that love for God, excuse me, as Paul was speaking, And he was speaking about how he was a slave to all. He put himself back under rather than wanting to be on top. He wasn't striving to become. He took himself and he put himself under so that he could be a slave to all men. Why? Because he knew he was a tree of righteousness. And anywhere he went, he was going to bring life. And life was going to come from him. He wasn't looking for the fleeting things of this world or distractions of this world. He was looking to be the wise. And I pray that as the church, we would come back into what is the one thing that makes us wise. You know, I often wonder what people would say if you ask them, who would you think is wise? And maybe if you asked, somebody that watches sports, you know, who's a successful one? They would talk about one that broke records and one that signed big contracts and one that did all of these things. Maybe if you ask somebody in the military, you know, who would you say is wise? You know, some younger man in the military might think of the man with the highest rank, right? Whether it's a 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star general, the one who has gone through battles, many battles, really scary ones where your life was on the line time and time again, and they came out on top and they lived to tell about it. Oh, that's the guy that's wise, the one who has won in battle. Maybe if you asked, I don't know, a banker, you know, who do you think is wise? He would say, oh, the one that makes a good investment and the one that has amassed a massive amount of finances or equity. But I believe that, you know, when we ask, Lord, who do you say is wise? I believe there's a thundering voice that comes out of heaven. And there's only one thing that he says. The one who is wise is the one who wins souls. He doesn't say it's the one who has the most. He said, he who is wise, he wrote it in his word. He who is wise, I really believe that thundering voice needs to be heard in our homes every single morning. He who is wise wins souls, according to the word of God. And even when things don't seem to go right, you know, as I was, and I've got to be very careful with this, but as we were witnessing to Danny on the plane, I was just eating my Wheat Thins. Right. I was just chewing on some Wheat Thins sitting there and I'm talking to Danny. So I have my mask down and I'm talking to Danny. And as I'm talking, I'm chewing on Wheat Thins and we're talking. And the next thing you know, the next row over on the other side of the plane, this lady says, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're supposed to be wearing a mask. I said, I'm eating. She said, I think you're talking more than you're eating. And I'm like, well, I don't know if they have a scale now of you can talk for a minute and then you have to eat 2 chips. I'm not sure how that works, okay? But none of the stewardesses said anything because I was doing nothing wrong. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm eating Wheat Thins. And she says, well, you need to cover. I said, ma'am, you're more than 6 feet away. You're okay. And then I went back to what I was doing. And a couple minutes later, she said, excuse me, sir. I said, yes, ma'am. I would so gladly love to push you out the airplane, push you right out the window and get you out of this airplane. That's what I would love to do because you're not wearing your mask. And I was like, holy smokes. Now, if you're eating Wheat Thins and you're sitting on the back row next to the outhouse or the restroom, sorry, and you're in the corner by the window and someone's 6 feet away and you're witnessing to someone else, she wanted to push me out the window at 36,000 feet. And I said, whatever. And it was so funny because the bassist who we just met, and all we're doing is talk about the things of God. He said, he rips off his mask. He said, I'll have some of them Wheat Thins. And he starts eating them. He's sitting right next to her. And we got laughing a little bit. So then we went on and I didn't say any more because you know what? No matter how people attack you, even when they're so silly, all right, she was just being silly because she was scared. There's a lot of people scared because they look at the narrative on TV, right? They're watching CNN and all the media, the foolishness. Please turn it off. Read the word of God. All right? Become that righteous tree that brings life. He or she was not bringing life. So we just ignored her, and she stopped the stewardess, and she's complaining about me to the steward. I don't know why. People are just attracted to me, apparently. All right? I'm eating. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. They're just attracted to me. And they just want to hear about God, I guess. And so we went back to talking, and I didn't stop. And it was a big bag of wheat thins. They lasted the whole flight, biting little pieces at a time. Just chew, 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 and keep talking about the things of God. So at the end, we land, and she says, we didn't talk to her anymore, another hour or so on the flight. And she said, excuse me, sir, excuse me. She said, I just like to offer an olive branch. And I know she overheard us talking about building churches and orphanages and taking teams into the mission field and just speaking life into Danny, because Danny's eyes were wide open and he wanted more. And so I know she overheard that. She said, I'd like to extend an olive branch. She says that we could both learn things from this. And I said, okay. She said, no, I really like to extend an olive branch. And because, you know, I'm sitting over here trying to protect my family and you're sitting over there. And she said a few things that I won't repeat online. She said, so I hope that we can, you know, in because we're Christians. And I thought, oh, boy. You know, I've been a Christian for quite a while. I've never threatened to throw somebody out of an airplane at 36,000 feet. So I just looked at her and said, okay, ma'am, because I'm not going to get in an argument. And guess what? We didn't argue on the plane, and I wouldn't argue afterwards. She was walking in complete and total fear, right? I did want to bring up, you mentioned Christian. Can you show me a scripture that says throw people off an airplane at 36,000 feet? I didn't. I kept my mouth closed because I knew that last hour of flying, she was so convicted by listening to us talk about the things of God that she couldn't get off the plane without doing something or trying to correct her foolishness. And there was no reason for me to say a word. Why? Because God's my defender. I did nothing wrong. We weren't breaking any rules. And this woman was panicking. All right. So I want to encourage you, you're going to be attacked at different times when God speaks and causes you to go to different places. Your response can either bring life or death. And we didn't bring any death. We only brought life. We only encouraged. We agreed and said, thank you, ma'am. And then went on about our business. There's no way to get into a long, drawn out conversation at that moment. But I know that the Holy Spirit is still working on her this morning. Amen. And so with that, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how long we went. So with that, I just want to encourage you, you know, that he that wins souls is wise. You've been given the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit. So you have all that you have need of. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. I want to encourage you today, when you walk in that, no matter what people say about you, you don't have to defend yourself. You go on. Danny's life was changed. God blessed us. We got to get in there. You know, the Winnebago started. It went down the road, had a few things that we had to do. We get to Mississippi. God sells it in Mississippi, so we don't have to drive it all the way home. We get to witness to Danny on the airplane. Then on the next flight leaving, we have an amazing time, get to witness people in Tennessee. Then on the way home, get to witness to someone else. And then we have some wonderful dear friends that come to the airport, pick us up, and bring us home. God supplied it all. Why? Because he is the author, the finisher, the redeemer, the way maker. He's all that we have need of. So let's dive back into that passion that we have for the word of God, for the understanding that we have for the mysteries of God, and being unlocked by the power of the Holy Ghost, and then walking in the knowledge of God and sharing that with people around us. I can't encourage you enough to walk in the freedom that God has given you. Let's be those that are wise. No matter how people respond to us, let's not stop chasing those who are lost and winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Find a way to serve them. Find a way to give into their lives. Find a way to become their friend so that they would hear of the goodness and they would see life and hear of life that flows from the tree of righteousness, the sons and daughters of God, the power of God being made manifest through each and every one. Remember, he that wins souls, wins men and women to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he is wise. Let's not stop walking and running after that in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God this morning. I thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have to preach Christ. I thank you, Lord, for those healings that are coming forth that we prayed about at the beginning of this teaching. Father, that we would walk in that freedom. We would walk in that understanding. We would walk knowing, Lord, that each one of them that were prayed for, they would just lift their hands even now and shout hallelujah before a doctor says a word. And they would proclaim, I have mine from the King who brings life and life more abundantly. I have mine from the divine healer who was and is and is to come. I have mine from the one who has redeemed me from the curse of the flesh or the curse of the law. We no longer walk handicapped. We no longer walk hidden in darkness, for now we walk in the light as he is in the light. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one of our friends. I pray your blessing upon our family members, oh God. Lord, open up their hearts. Let them just release the words that bring life and look for the one that you're leading them to. For the one who wins souls is wise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Have an amazing day. And go find someone that you can share the love of God with.